Hi, and welcome to a very special episode of the Gentleman Radio Show. We are recording here at the Lost Cinema, and we have a very special guest, Philip Haldeman, star of The Room.
How's it going?
Oh, hi, Philip.
Oh, hi to you, too.
So, just for people who maybe haven't seen The Room, could you tell us a little bit about just kind of what it is? And
well, it is a movie that has taken on an amazing life of its own as a cult film, not only here in the United States, but also cross seas, Europe. There's some big fans in Australia. And as far as The Room goes, as you know, it's really hard to explain. You really kind of have to see it for yourself. There are plots. You really need to go see it to truly experience it. But ultimately, it's a love triangle. And I play kind of the next door neighbor. What's Denny like? Denny wants to be loved by, loved by all, I guess. That's kind of the way I look at him. But he's the next door neighbor. He's kind of taken in by the lead character, Johnny. He pays my rent, put me through school. I was orphaned. So Johnny's kind of like my surrogate father, so to speak. You know, that sort of thing. That's kind of who Denny is. You know?
And he's kind of in love with Johnny's future wife.
Yes, he's in love with Lisa. But it's kind of an innocent love. I mean, it's very like a crush type love. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
And so I know this is covered in your comic book, and we can go ahead and plug that right now. It's called My Big Break.
My Big Break, yes. It's based on my life in L.A., which, of course, includes my experience on The Room, which took up a deep... I mean, you know, we shot for 3 months, ish, you know, the film never took off until actually after I left L.A., But so it's kind of like the ups and downs of being a struggling actor in L.A., basically.
Okay, and so you met Tommy Wiseau, and you were auditioning for The Room.
Yes.
Or Neighbors, as it was called.
Well, yeah, actually, it was what I was told when I... And this is the first issue of My Big Break. It is the story of my audition. And yes, initially, they called it... Tommy had all these different kind of projects going on, or at least he talked about them. And one of them was a Neighbors, which I didn't really know about the project at the time. It was just called The Neighbors, and that's what... I mean, it was still very ambiguous, at least from the information that I was given at the time.
So you mentioned in there, at least for your audition, there was no script. Was there ever a script?
There was definitely a script. There were other actors that did audition that did have sides, that did have script. I never got a script because he asked me to audition, basically, and so... which really, I didn't think it was good out, but I got the part. So, improvisation is not my strong suit, I would say.
So did you ever see a full script the entire time?
No, actually, no. We as actors got together and tried to piece everything together, but there were still gaps. So, and a lot of the times we kind of got the scenes as we went. You know what I mean? So we didn't know. We really didn't have a whole clue of what the whole scope of was. You know what I mean?
Well, I've seen the movie 5 times, and okay. I still don't know the whole scope.
Yes. You know, so I don't feel so bad. You know what I mean?
Right.
I tried to watch it 4 times on my own. My ex-girlfriend turned me onto it. I tried to watch it 4 times with Riff Tracks once.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't make it through just by myself on my own fortitude. I had to actually come here to the loft and see it. Where I've actually, you know, I paid and was in a crowd of
Wait,
of
why
people.
Why couldn't you get through it? Just because it was just hard to watch? Or
I just kept running into walls with it. You know, I got farther each time.
Interesting, yeah.
But, you know. But I think that the best way to see it is with a bunch of people and you can throw spoons.
Absolutely, definitely. Absolutely. People that, because I've talked to a lot of people, you know, because I met you guys at the Comic-Con. There were a lot of fans, actually, that actually said they had never seen it in the theater. And I was like, you're doing yourself a disservice, right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah,
completely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And so, as far as Tommy Wiseau goes, is he as weird or more weird in real life than Johnny?
Oh, than Johnny. I thought you were going to say, is he, you know, in real life.
Right.
No,
I mean, compared
pretty
to
much,
this
like,
character.
Their names sound alike, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, no, the, I mean, I'm not going to say the same person, but I'm sure there's similarities, you know what I mean? And as far as, you know, seeing Tommy Wiseau on the screen and seeing him in real life is pretty much the same thing.
Wow. Yeah. How did you initially get involved with the audition in the first place? Like, did you know him beforehand, or was it...
No, I had an agent at the time, of course, but I didn't... She wasn't sending me out on many auditions, so there was this thing called a submission service, which basically, you pay $100 a month, and they, you know, they send out 100, 200 copies of your headshot. Producers, directors, casting calls, and so... I ended up getting a lot of auditions out of that, which was great, you know. And one of them happened to be The Room, you know. And so that's it was a non-union film, so SAG agents did not submit their actors to audition for this film, you know. So it was basically through this submission service, you know.
Did you fire your submission service afterwards, or was it?
No, I kept going out, you know, I kept getting auditions. No, that was one of the best things, you know. I mean, it's good to have an agent, you need them, but I went on a lot of auditions because of this thing. This acting world may have changed a lot, but if it still exists, I say if you're an actor in LA, do it, you know.
Now, one thing that you mentioned again in the comic book is how you thought it was really weird, but you're like, well, this is LA, so I'm just sort of going to go with it because it's pretty weird. Did that ever change? Did either you or any of the other actors ever sort of be like, hey, what's going on in a scene or anything like that? Or
I think that was almost every scene, actually. No, but I can't speak for everybody, I think, but I think I can in the sense that a lot of people on the set, a lot of the actors were happy to be working, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, he paid us pretty well. I was able to take my I was working at an Italian joint restaurant and off of Wilshire Boulevard at the time, and I was like, okay, cool, I'm a working actor right now, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, the shoot was definitely weird and strange, but it sure beaten, you know, slinging pizza slices, you know
sure.
what I mean?
Yeah. Did you When you were doing it, did you guys... What did you think of it in terms of, like, the future of The Room? Did you have any...
it wasn't even close. I mean, it wasn't even close. I mean, it was good. I mean, it was like, yes, cool, we're getting paid. And even better that probably nobody's ever going to see this film.
Yeah, so you all knew it was a train wreck.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Yeah, we definitely were like, you know, we're getting paid, but, you know... This is not going to be a good movie, so we won't have to worry about it. You know what I mean?
So did he give any kind of direction as to, like, one thing I'm wondering about is, like, the, you know, most iconic scene with you on the roof on drugs with no...
Wait, I wasn't on drugs.
The character.
I was just selling drugs.
Yeah, they're, I don't have them anymore.
I know, yeah.
But, so was there supposed to be more with that, or did he just think, you know what, this says everything that needs to be said?
No, it was like, I didn't question it too much. It was like tomorrow we do Chris R. scene, that's what he said, you know. And I did have the script for that, and, you know, it was fun, it was actually a lot of fun, kind of intense to shoot, actually. But, I mean, that was kind of how it was. It was actually, you know, like the tuxedo scene, it was kind of like, he told us the day before... come in, I was roughly the day before, and he was like, come in tomorrow, we do tuxedo scene, you know what I mean? And the next day, what do you mean, Tommy? He's like, go find out tomorrow, you know what I mean? So and then the next day, we all had tuxedos, and, you know, that's just kind of how a lot of it was, you know? And then, you know, one scene didn't work out, and so we'd have to do it again. He didn't like a certain scene, so we'd do it again. So, I mean, and in a way, that's kind of the way television is. They shoot television, you get your sides really quick, and you just have to go with it, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of similar to that, you know what I mean?
So you did that Chris R. scene twice, right? There was a...
Yeah, I had forgotten about that, actually. There was a scene, maybe on the DVD, actually, I don't know. But there was a scene, like, in the alleyway inside the set, you know what I mean? That didn't make the movie. And then we did the one with the green screen and everything like that. But I had forgotten that we reshot the Chris R. scene.
Yeah, I just saw that recently. Somebody posted on the Facebook or something. But it
yeah.
looks like you were like shooting hoops beforehand, so it made some
yeah.
sense as to why you had a basketball. It was kind of cool to see.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I believe there might have... I think there was a basketball hoop in that scene, actually.
Oh, wow.
I don't think you can see it on camera, but it could be wrong, but I kind of remember there being a basketball hoop there, I'm pretty sure.
Did they ever tell you why his name was Chris R?
No.
Okay. That's one thing...
That's interesting. Like, what do you think about that? Like, is that like a gang name? Like, what? Honestly, I didn't even... I don't remember putting that much thought into it, to be honest with you.
I've always thought that maybe there was another character named Chris at some point that had a different last name. So
yeah.
It was like, that's Chris
like
J and Chris R.
That like
know?
In elementary school, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I didn't understand. So if you guys didn't like see the whole script, you don't know if there was any... Because I think when I first saw it, I kind of assumed that there were maybe scenes that were edited out or something like that where it would have made more sense, you know, together, but...
No, actually, everything that was shot, more or less, was in the movie, more or less.
Oh, okay, so there wasn't really
anything
much...
that was scripted, I think, was pretty much in the movie, I'm pretty sure.
So, were you at the premiere when it came out?
I was,
like, a premiere for it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was this theater off of Fairfax. They had a big, big spotlight up, shooting up in the sky, and it was like, we're doing a real premiere, you know? We got all dressed up, And then the film started to roll, and like the first thing that I know, like a couple months before, Tommy gave us promotional material to hand out, you know, for the
right.
movie to promote. And my name was spelled wrong on it; it was two L's on it. You know, I was like, okay, Tommy, just make sure before the film gets finished, just make sure that my name is spelled correctly. And so the first thing, there's my name, and it still has two L's in it, and I was like, oh, like this is how it's gonna go. You know what I mean? So, and then I kind of, like, slipped down in my chair and, like, after everything started from the beginning, from the moment I bit into the apple almost. You know what I mean?
And how was the reaction from the audience?
Well, and honestly, it was supposed to be kind of like a serious movie, you know? And people started, you know, laughing where we didn't want them to laugh, basically.
Right.
So, and that solidified our thoughts. As we thought when we were shooting the movie, that okay, good, nobody will probably ever see this again.
Right, and I know he's since said that it was absolutely meant to be a black comedy.
Yeah.
So he did not get that sense at all.
The most brilliant marketing ever. I don't know. You know what I mean? And it worked out, though. Something worked out. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, it's always amazed me, just as a film, how much it fails and how much it succeeds all at the same time. Like, you know. Sort of by accident.
Yeah, it's
like
really
perfectly
bizarre.
Bad.
Yeah.
No, I never, ever, ever, ever could have expected the success of it. You know, and you know there was a little bit of weird moment there when you know like CNN would call and be like and like want to talk about this movie that like like I didn't like I wasn't expecting to be a part of like the worst. Movie ever made, you know what I mean? So it was kind of awkward, but then as it became more and more popular, it was like, wow, people really love this. I mean, this is a movie that people will love for the rest of their lives, you know what I mean?
Right.
And to me, that's kind of cool, actually, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I feel like, in a way, just as a fan of it, you know, it's like, it's a bad movie, but it's hard to really... I don't know. It's hard to really consider it that way because it's like it's so awesomely bad.
Right.
If you're going to be in a bad movie, you want it to be as
thank you
perfectly.
I really do. And there's a charm to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
There's an earnestness to it that people really got into. And so like how can you be so like anti that? You know?
I have a hard time imagining somebody actually hating. The movie at all.
Well, there's some people out there.
Probably.
I mean, that's why it's a cult film, you know what I mean?
Sure,
because
right.
A small, devoted group, not necessarily so, but you know what I mean? A small, devoted group of fans are really, really loyal to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the cult, you know?
Yeah.
So how are you now with, with Tommy? Like, have you talked
to him? I haven't talked
to
him since the premiere, actually.
Oh, wow.
How about any of the other actors? Do you keep?
We've talked. I've talked to Greg. Actually, Juliet came out. I don't know if you got a chance to check out the trailer for the comic book.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
seen
you
it.
Should get check it out. It's really cool. She came out to Phoenix to do a trailer to promote My Big Break. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
And so, kind of the idea is like it's grizzly old Denny, like who ran away after all this madness happened to like camp out in the woods, and he's been there for years. And then Juliet appears and hands me the football, and I start coming back into the city. You know what I mean? Like,
that's awesome.
You should check it out. It's really awesome. And so she was way cool about that. She came out to Phoenix. We shot. She stayed the night at a friend's house and had to go back to California the next day. But she was really cool about that. And I've talked to Greg a few times, you know? Yeah.
That's cool. Has this, like, opened up any doors for you in terms of, like, other...
acting and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Actually, that's funny. Occasionally, I'll have somebody say, I want you shooting this indie film or something like that, you know? There's a production, I don't know... This seems one of the more good possibilities. There's a production in Austin, Texas that... a big fan of The Room, who's directing and write it. He actually is a pretty big filmmaker in Austin, I think. I forget his name, but he wants me to play a cameo role in his movie. And I looked at the script, and it looks fun, you know? So, occasionally, some stuff pops up, you know what I mean? But definitely, I'm definitely, like, you know, I'm a reporter right now, and so that's kind of owns me, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so let's get into that. You do you work for the Arizona Republic up in Phoenix. So yes. What is it that you report on, like?
I cover, and by the way, you guys are Tucson all the way, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I did Tucson. I lived here to summer of 2008, working for the Star. So I in Phoenix, I cover the towns of Paradise Valley and Cave Creek, and area in East Phoenix called Arcadia.
Oh,
it's kind of a nice affluent area up there. Anything that happens there, and it's usually like town halls and elections and like any new policies. But it could be anything, any number of things that, like whatever happens in a town, if it's worth covering, I should write about it.
Have you ever had any moments when you've been doing your job there, like, you know, recording something or whatever, and had somebody recognize you from the room or anything like that?
No, yeah, actually, it's interesting because, like, yeah, there are some fans, because the Republic Gannett is, like, pretty big, you know what I mean? They have a lot of employees and stuff like that. And I'll have a friend, a coworker says, hey, so-and-so works in design, and she's, like, a totally big fan of the room, and then I'll just randomly text them, you know, I'll randomly, like, instant message them, you know, like, hey, and it, like, kind of freaks them out. But they think it's kind of cool. But, yeah, that happens occasionally, you know?
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So how long after The Room did you sort of, like, leave L.A. and do that? Did you go on any other auditions after that? Or
yeah, I continued to audition. But, like, you know, there was a point there. We shot in 2002. I was out in L.A. for 4 years. Shot in 2002. Came out in 2003, and I left in 2004. And there was just a point, like, where I kind of got burnt out on L.A. Like, I love L.A. I love a lot of the things that it has to offer, but me and L.A. didn't jive too much. There was a point where a lot of my actually closer friends in L.A. left. They went back to wherever they were going, or you know what I mean? And so all of a sudden, I didn't have anybody, like, close there. And so I was like, okay, I'm not sure if I want to do this anymore, you know what I mean? And not only that, but also just because the environment's superficial environment in L.A., and, like, and so I came back home, and I think it worked out, you know what I mean?
How long did it take for The Room to, like, really start picking up speed? Like, when did you realize how big of kind of a phenomenon it was as far as a cult film?
I was interning at the Arizona Republic, I think it might have been in 2008, actually, and, my boss, my editor, comes in, I think it was a Monday, and he's like, Phil, I was at the dentist office last week, and I saw this. And he breaks open the Entertainment Weekly, which is, like, Entertainment Weekly did a pretty big story on it. It wasn't the cover, but it was, like, one of their lead stories. And there was my mug right there with Tommy Wiseau, and it was the scene where we're walking off of the rooftop from the Chris R scene, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And from that moment on, and then a bunch of big news organizations did stories on it, and then I was seeing news clips of, like, the five theaters at Crescent Heights in Hollywood, like, packed, and Tommy Wiseau was like running around all over the place, you know what I mean? And so I think it was around like 2008 when I was like, this is unreal, you know what I mean? It's happening, you know?
Awesome. We're starting to run out of time. We've got a little bit left, but before we have to release you back into your meet and greet that's going on.
Is there any, I mean, no, feel free to ask, ask the most pressing questions.
So, I'm drawing a blank. I had a question in my head, and now I'm totally...
Sorry.
No, it's okay. So what is next for you? I mean, are you planning on... you've got your comic book and stuff like that. Are you planning on expanding that farther?
Working on issue 2 right now. It's very, very close. It's taken a long time with my work. My work takes up a lot of work, and so it's hard to get to the comic book. But we're close with issue 2. I mean, literally, hopefully by the end of the year, you know, maybe a good Christmas gift or something like this. So that's kind of the main thing right now. I mean, they'll be doing some promotions for that. I'm probably going to, planning on being at South by Southwest, and hopefully can come back down here to promote the book too as well. But that's the main thing right now.
How's that been doing so far?
The book?
Yeah, since then.
It's been good. Getting a good response. I actually just had, a couple weeks ago, I just had my first customer in I believe it was London, Europe,
oh, wow.
by the book. So that was really cool. And I just recently opened it up to Europe shipping, because I initially adjusted it for the States because I kind of rushed it to get it out there, and I just wanted to make sure it got out there. Because people in Australia have been asking me about it too, so the next step is to open up the postage so that I can send it out on a more global level, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And do you have an idea of how many issues you're looking to...
I don't, honestly. It's kind of like... It really just has to do about time, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I've got... As far as it being written, I've got, like, a lot. I've got... Like, it first was a book. Like, it was first kind of going to be like a memoir thing. As far as actually how much I have written, I've got probably 7 to 10 issues, basically. But I need to convert that. I need to convert that into the comic book, basically. Text from prose into the comic book. So, and that takes a little time. But yeah, we're looking. I could have up to 10 issues at least, probably.
And so for our listeners who are interested in picking up a comic book, where would they go to get that?
You can go to philiphaldeman.com. That's Philip with 1 L. And the trailer's there, too. So check out the trailer. It's really cool.
Yeah, we can link that on the...
Yeah, okay.
We'll definitely.
That'd be great,
that.
Yeah.
Link that. So, also, just one more thing. When you started doing the comic book, how did you get hooked up with your artist and that sort of thing?
I know a lot of people in the Phoenix art scene. And so I kind of just started asking around. I know a lot of people that do comic books, like kind of indie, like self-publishing comic books and stuff like that. So I knew a lot of people down in Phoenix that I could draw from. And I found one. He actually was my brother recommended him. And he was really good. And then I had a designer to the team, which that's the cool thing about issue 2 is. Issue 2 is going to like look a lot more slick. You know what I mean? Like the production value is going way up. So that's another reason to check it out.
That's awesome. Good to hear. Yeah, I definitely enjoyed the first issue. I thought it was very funny. I'm definitely looking forward to the second. And for all of our listeners, I highly recommend it. And The Room.
Right, yeah. If you've never seen The Room...
Come out to the loft.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you're in
Tucson. It's definitely better to watch it at a theater with a big crowd. It's got like sort of a Rocky Horror treatment going on where there's a lot of audience participation. Great fun time.
Although we haven't seen anybody like actually acting it out. I'd like to see what like...
Oh, yeah, but I just
like
mean
Tommy
like audience
actors.
And they
like.
Do that, you know. Oh. There's some cool people in L.A. that kind of started the whole thing. And they have come out here to see screenings in Phoenix. And those guys are solid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the cool thing about it. The cool thing about it is, like, no matter what screening you go to, the interaction will be completely different, you know? Don't be afraid to get up there and, you know, try something new, you know?
Awesome. All right, well, we're going to have to wrap this up, I guess. But thank you very, very much for coming on. I know we've been both really excited about the prospect for a really long time. So.
Absolutely.
Cool, yeah. I'm glad it happened. I'm here. You know? Cool.
All right, cool. And so for the Gentleman Radio, I'm Patrick.
I'm Jeffrey. And see you next time.